we certainly got a wonderful taste of the kingdom, a vision of what we have in store for us at the return of Christ. But we're looking at times that are really getting bad. They're getting worse. I wish I could say I think they might get better. I just can't see that happening. And I think that most of us really realize that. We see the handwriting on the wall, and we've got to act on that and be strong. Romans 8, verse 18, Paul says this, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." And if we hang in there, that's you and I. And that's what the taste that we received at the Feast of Tabernacles this year. "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And you still look out there and look at this big universe that one day, it's going to be interesting. Why does God have all these billions of planets? It's fascinating to look at that and see what our part might eventually be in that one. When you go to Revelation 21 and you see that everything physically is going to be burned up and there's going to be a spiritual creation that takes place. This is the design of our Father in Jesus Christ. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our body." So depending on what you go through, and God always has his people go through a number of trials for our own growth, and it certainly doesn't feel good. You know, but we watch what's going on around us. We still have a lot of sicknesses. We've got people that are going through a lot of different trials, and it's all according to God's purpose. When I look back at this world, it really has not been a very, as far as peaceable world, has it? There's been murders and wars from the very beginning, and it's just continued out through our time now. You look back at, you know, as far as we can go back, even in this generation, we see the World War I's, we see the World War II's, we see the Korean Wars, the Vietnam Wars, and my generation never had to go through that. I never had to be and fight in a war. And a lot of young men and even women died through that. It's just been horrible for people to have seen that, and it continues through the sporadic wars that we have throughout the world now, and it's not going to get any better. You saw probably in the news as far as, I believe it's Azerbaijan and another country that are at odds right now, and the fire is being fueled by other elements in other countries outside that. So you're going to see Albania, I think it is, Azerbaijan and Albania are kind of almost at the peak of going to war right now. So we're going to see that continually go forward. But, you know, I'll ask you, are you worried? I hope you'll say no. Concerned? Fine. In fact, let's go back and see what Paul said on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I used to think after the feast on my way home, I'd be going, oh no, here we go to this back to this big bad world again. And I think and hope that we're learning to take on that challenge, to recognize that God's got his purpose, and he especially has got his purpose in those who he has called. And he's going to see us through all these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Here it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And once again, I think all who are here have experienced something like this. And as we go through our trials in the future, maybe this will hit home a lot more, because our job now is to be strengthened by the Spirit of God and by his power so it can carry us through and so that we can have a good vision and perspective on what our part is as this world goes down, that we can actually become stronger. Verse 13, it says, "We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Well, we also believe and therefore speak." so you can utter the same words to others that I'm uttering to you now. If you see people really in a despairing type of attitude, we can ask, hey, we've got the same Spirit of God here. We don't have to despair. We might find times that we need to be lifted up and times that other people need to be lifted up as well. God has made his church and designed it that we would lift each other up and help each other. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up us also by Jesus and will present us with you. So as Christ was presented before his Father, so his people will be presented. You know, we had that time at the feast to kind of let that hopefully sink in. You know, the reality of the future of the millennial reign of Christ and our part in it, and of course the last great day and all the other peoples and so many questions that we have regarding the times of the future, that God will reveal all of these things to his people. We're going to see it a lot clearer as we go on. But here we understand, again, our part in this. Can you imagine being presented before your Father, the one that we pray to every day, and actually seeing him and talking to him? The reality of that coming is just like the reality that we were in last spring, thinking about this Feast of Tabernacles, and then it came and it went. The reality of this is going to come. It is going to be here. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which purpose we don't faint, but though our outward man perishes, and certainly many of us can feel the outward man or woman perishing, we all have those creaks and groans every day. And it just, that doesn't seem to get any better, does it? So we can certainly relate to that. Yet the inward is renewed day by day. You know, try to grab that one on and let your, really feed off of that one and realize that, you know, when your body is not responding very well and you realize each year it just doesn't seem to maybe get any better. The body just gets older, yet your mind can get stronger. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Why, we look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And so, once again, that taste of the Feast of Tabernacles. We're looking at things that yet we're not there yet. We talk about it. We try to grab onto it. We try to see it. But imagine the reality of that. Still coming and returning with Jesus Christ and how that's going to work out, that Satan will be bound for that 1,000-year period. And really, all of us question, where will I be? What will I be doing? That's really interesting to think and actually get excited about that, because whatever you think, it's going to be so much better than we even think. And God is preparing us all for that. It's really, really exciting. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon which our house which is in heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he who has wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of his Spirit. How long in the past have we gone through this, the earnest or begettal of his Spirit? Can you imagine if we've got the begettal of his Spirit and we've grown spiritually, which hopefully we have? Imagine having the fullness of his Spirit and actually being as God is God. No longer being able to suffer under the physical type of creation and having the answers. Wouldn't you like to be able to answer everything instead of going to Google? I mean, you know everything. You just understand and you know everything because our destiny is to be a part of that God family. Verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So it's really, as much as we are blessed in this country, it's sometimes harder to look at that because we have so many things, so many blessings that other people that are within our church even don't have all the accoutrements and the blessings and being able to go wherever we want and have food galore. Imagine, again, we all experienced that. We went to some really, really nice restaurants. And a lot of people throughout the world aren't able, they still go to the feast and they rejoice. And if they can have meat one day, that's a blessing to them. Verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So whether we are in this physical body right now or we become in that spiritual body, that we will be acceptable in everything that we do before God. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it's good or bad. And we see parables about that, the parable of the pounds, don't we? The parable of the cities. Because you've done this in this physical life now, because you've done with God's Spirit this or that, God will reward us. So again, we know that there's going to be kingdoms. We know that we're going to be rulers throughout the world. How many cities will you have? Now, how many blessings from God will he go, well done, my servant? And everybody does different with that. But it should make us take a look at that and say, this year, I would like to do a lot better. I would like to receive that reward of God to do the best that I can do. Now, we see from Matthew chapter 17, let's go over here, that the disciples, the apostles, learned about this faith and where it comes from. Because I'd like to see our faith increased this year. If our faith is increased, we're going to become much, much stronger. And we're going to need this as times go on. So Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, when they had come to the multitude, there came to him a man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. Very interesting. It's so hard to think about what this person actually went through. Demon-possessed. And so many were, even through that time, it's hard to understand sometimes why there were so many demonically possessed people. This is a big world, and they're out there today. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I allow you, or how long will I tolerate you in this type of lack of faith? He said, bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, he departed out of him, and the child was healed from that very hour. And the disciples came to Jesus separately. Each of them were bothered in their own way. So they didn't come to him as a group, they came to him separately. Why not me? I thought I was stronger than this person, certainly. Maybe I could see that he can heal him, but certainly, why not me? So we can see, again, the weakness in the disciples in their understanding of this. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for I verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible to you. And this is a grain of mustard seed. So where is our faith now? If you could say, have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, and say, remove this mountain, or anything. Is anything, as I mentioned during the feast, is anything too hard for God? You remember when Sarah laughed when she was told that she was going to have a child? Is anything too hard for God? Can we grow and exercise this type of faith? However, this kind goes not out except by prayer and by fasting. So I'm going to make a suggestion here as times go on. As we see the handwriting on the wall, let me ask you, do you think that we're going to need a stronger faith? I believe that we are. And so we've got our work cut out for us to increase our connection with God through the tools that he's given to us, more Bible study, more prayer, more fasting, more meditation on God's way, that we can really be in tune with what's going on. Watch what happens in our lives sometimes. Sometimes negative things will happen to people, and what is our reaction? I don't know exactly what happened in some of the different church areas, but there were challenges for God's people. And how did we react to them? A natural carnal reaction sometimes is just to do what the Israelites did. Some kind of murmuring takes place, and then all of a sudden you get texts and Facebook things that go all over the place. And I wonder sometimes, do we really have all the facts on all the information? Do we really have facts on why somebody made the decision that they did? It's quick to make assumptions or judgments. I'd personally like to find out exactly what happened. I could see possibly when there was a threat of another hurricane coming into Orange Beach that the natural reaction was, hey, you know, our infrastructure has got repairs. It's at 100%, but it's not really where it should be. And so that even the idea of a light hurricane coming in could have been a disaster for that. I've not seen the full response, but it certainly is easy to criticize on jumping the gun too easy. I thought that for a while. It sounds like they're jumping the gun. I'm certain that they had their reasons for making a decision that they made. But how did God's people react to that? I imagine some went and just flowed with it, went out and found another place. Everybody had different reactions. But what was our reaction like before God? In all these different situations, we're learning and growing to have this kind of strength and have this kind of faith that we don't make some of the mistakes that we've made before. So could you imagine what would have happened in this case? It seems, though, the disciples had been performing certain miracles, and they now had to come upon a situation where God allowed them to be tested. And how did they do? Now, we can see so many cases, they didn't always do very good, did they? But you see the final outcome, I think they did pretty good. These apostles are going to be ones in the millennium that are going to be ruling each over the 12 tribes. Christ said that. Now, Christ says things about us too, about his saints and becoming kings and priests. So you can guarantee that when Christ says something through the Father, which gives him the words to say, that so it's going to happen to us as well if we don't fail, if we don't stop, if we continue and we grow. How can we do this? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So we get a reminder here. And again, we need reminders on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, don't we? You know, we seem to feel that we're from the tribe of Manasseh in the United States. Manasseh means forgetful. So maybe that's one of our traits, is we tend to be forgetful. So we get reminders, rightly so. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Stir it up. How do we stir it up? Our connection with God. Our connection, a reminder that as we go through trials, to ask, what is this trial all about? God, help me to learn what you want me to learn. Help me to grow. That should be our focus all of the time. So once we leave this feast, that's why it was interesting to listen to Mr. Franks as he was talking before the feast, and they asked the question, did we do this? Did we follow through? Were we encouraged by this? Do we still have the same vision and focus now after the feast? Notice how the disciples, now apostles, learned in Acts chapter 3. I love this chapter here because what a incredible miracle that took place. So many of these things we're looking at the future also. As we got that taste or vision of the kingdom, I still wondered in certain cases, how are these cities going to be set up? How are the nations going to be set up? Where is our part going to be as far as having actual connections with individual people and even over different cities? And where will we be? Will we be coming into Jerusalem to kind of give Christ a report on what's taking place? The tastes of that, what that's going to be like. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from birth, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or charity of those who entered the temple. Now, I don't want to speed through that too quick. This hour of prayer, being 3 p.m., was designed by the Jews to make sure that people prayed. Now, God said didn't set a time for us to pray. David said evening, morning, and at noon. He didn't see 3 p.m. You know, if we really want to grow, actually, God is looking for our hearts. It's like the same thing with offerings. We know we should be bringing an offering, but God wants to see our heart behind what we give. He's a very much a heart person. But now we get into this lame man, and it says from birth. I hope they have the video on this one. I'd really like to see this. I can envision it, but I really would love to see this. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for a donation. And Peter, fixing his eyes upon him with John, said, look upon us. And he listened to them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have to give, but what I do, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Where did Peter get this inspiration from? Would you like to have that? I would like to have that. That I know that God would want me to resurrect somebody, and you do it with the right heart. No more, hey, watch what I can do. Hey, this guy can't do that. None of that. It was gone. After they received the Holy Spirit, look at the power of God that they used. And watch what happens. So he takes him by the right hand, lifts him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. And he started to do therapy on him and said, come back in a couple days. Isn't this amazing when you see somebody lame from birth? You know, we get out of bed sometimes and we kind of have to move around a little bit till something actually works. Did any of you get out of bed and start jumping up and down for joy? This guy did. Never had walked before. Received strength. When you receive strength from God, miracles happen. This was no doubt a miracle. He leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You couldn't deny this. They laid him before the daily. They knew what this guy looked like and they knew the condition he was in. And wow, did this present itself to bring some trials, especially on the man's family when he watched what took place later on. They just did not want to acknowledge the power of God. They knew, verse 10, it was him who sat for charity at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And as the lame man who was healed held Peter and John, all the great people ran together to them at the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, would we wonder, or would you just know? I know exactly what's happened. You know, so many of us, again, we'll see something happen, and we'll see some kind of miracle take place, whether that's happened for you on the way to the feast, there at the feast, on the way home from the feast. Oh, this happened to us, and this is what took place. And you kind of know. Hey, God's working with us. I know that. We all have our feast stories. I wonder if any of you have those this year as well. It's so interesting to know that God is with you. And no questions, no greatly wondering. So Peter used this as a time of a testimony. Verse 12, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and obviously they knew these, they called them their fathers, which they are in a sense our forefathers as well. But they had the law, they knew about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, the God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. This was an incredible testimony to the people of Israel that day. Wise up, folks. You're not on the ball. Do you see what's going on before you? Do you see what's happened? What an incredible testimony. And again, nothing about them, as you saw, as they were disciples in training. And his name, through faith in his name, verse 16, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And that same faith can give us the presence of soundness as well. We're going to be going through some real turmoil in the years to come. And I'd like to say that we're going to have this perfect soundness of mind as well, that we won't be worrying or fretting. Our job will be, let's get closer to God. Let's fast more. Let's pray more. Let's ask God for the guidance and the faith and the strength that we can be testimonies and witnesses as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll talk a little bit about this faith that's given to God in measures. We actually can grow in this as well, but it's given in measures. We're all different, even today, in here and on the webcast, different in our faith. But the whole point is to grow in it, wherever you're at, not to compare with each other, but that each of us will grow. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, Paul said, now concerning or regarding spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. There are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, and you can witness that. Wasn't that easy to witness when you were at the Feast of Tabernacles this year? All the different messages, all the different presentations, all different types and differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of operations, but it's the same God who works in all. See, even at the feast and the coordinators, they're all different in the way that they operate. But yet we're all willing to put together, and they're all willing to ask God to show them, and they work differently. You'll see different operations managers, different ways that they work. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But how is that Spirit manifested? How is it made evident? It's through the gifts, through the ministries, through the operations. Verse 8, it says, for by one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Did you ever hear those before? I've listened to sermons many times where I go, this man is really a man of faith. He's preached on faith before. And others have their strengths. I've heard some that have done marvelous marriage sermons. They connected more with that. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. But all these works, that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to everyone severally as he wills, as God wills. So he gives to us those gifts which you really need to find out what they are, and then build on those and be strengthened by those. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you yield your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's not even above and beyond. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to go through constant evaluations to see, is that the way that I'm supposed to operate? Again, there are some things that are frankly so easy to see. There are so many distortions. There are so many lies that are out there today for us to see, is that the way that we should be? Is that the way that we should operate? And it's good to perfect those judgments, that we can judge righteous judgment. Verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So even us in this congregation out there on the webcast, we're all different. We're all different in different ways. But we all have our strengths, and we all have our weaknesses. So it's up to us as a church to pray for each other, you know, to talk with each other, to strengthen one another. Even as we have our own individual responsibilities, there are collective responsibilities. And I don't think that's just to come to church every Sabbath and then go back during the week and come back to church every Sabbath. It's hard, isn't it? You know, once again, at the feast this year in Myrtle, since we had those two separate services, it was actually easier to fellowship this year. There was just a lot more room. And sometimes you could go over and visit with the B group like we did at times and fellowship with them as well, and to connect with people, find out what's going on and learn from each other. Verse 6, so we have the measure of faith in verse 3. In verse 6, having then gifts different according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It's so interesting when we're learning and we're going through this, because when you get around feast time, you'll have discussions on how things are going to actually work out. You know, how is God going to bring this about? What is it exactly going to look like? And there are sometimes different speculations. I don't want to go personally, I don't want to go overboard with speculations. I like talking about certain things and how God's going to work things out, but not to the point where it becomes caustic and it becomes divisive. Because again, I think as prophecy goes on, God's going to teach us. We're going to learn more about that. Do we know everything about prophecy now? Have we made mistakes? Can we not learn from our mistakes? So I'm not going to say, by the way, Christ is returning January 6, 2023, start to get right. I'm not going to make that mistake. You know, there are so many different mistakes that people make. Let's find out and see what we ought to be doing and growing in faith. Then watch God as he gives us education and teaches us according to his purpose, according to his will, not according to our will. So you get the measure of faith, the proportion of faith. What does that tell you? We should be growing with that measure or proportion. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is where Paul gives this warning here. And it's so easy to do. As you read this, you might think of different situations that you've been in or other people that have said this about somebody else. Well, you know, we do this. Well, you know, I do this. Is that really the thing that we should do? Or give the testimony of what God has shown us and not to compare? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or comparing ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We will not boast of things without measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even to you. Not boasting things with measure. Now, they could really say this, couldn't they? Because as disciples, that's what they did. That's where Christ had to bring them to. So it was an incredible type of growth that you see the disciples when Christ was working with them and teaching with them, and the things that were brought back to their mind when they were given the Spirit of God. I wondered about that. They would say, no, I see that so clearly because they lived it. They went through it. And no doubt at times they could be embarrassed by some of the things that they did. But they also knew that their Father in heaven was a God of mercy, that they could go forward, which we should do as well. How many of us have said, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that? I know all of us here have done that. How do I know that? We're all human beings. There's not a human being except for Christ that's ever lived that's blown out something that we probably shouldn't have said. Verse 15, not boasting of things with measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we will be magnified in you according to our rule abundantly. That's why I brought back our heritage and talked about our calling, as Mr. Franks did, remembering some of his first feasts. I don't want to forget some of mine. Young, dumb, you know, not fully educated in the Word of God, and still learning and growing in that as well, but not wanting to forget my heritage. So I recited about the World Tomorrow program and how that came on the radio. And some people are saying, well, why would you do that? Because I don't want to forget my heritage. I remember that radio program and the impact that it made on me. And from that point on, I learned and can see made some bad mistakes, but grew from them. And again, knowing that God is a God of mercy, but it's still for us to continue to grow, the faith being increased. Romans 14, verse 1. Now, here's where we come to help someone. This is not always an easy thing to do, especially if we're comparing. Romans 14, verse 1. He who is weak in the faith, receive, not judging his doubtful thoughts or condemning in that sense. Who are you who judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he will be held up, for God is able to make him stand. So sometimes we see people here that are growing and learning as well, and we jump in at a time where God says, I didn't need you to do that. I'm working with this person. So what do we have to do? Grow in wisdom. We need to grow in wisdom. What should we be saying? And too much sometimes, I speak of this personally, we spit it out. We say something that we probably shouldn't have said instead of praying for the person and asking God to guide him. Verse 10, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Eternal, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will confess to God. Do you think there will ever be a time we come before God that we'll be pointing the finger at somebody else? I don't think so. Especially at that time. Every one of us will give an account of himself to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge each other anymore, but judge this rather, that no one put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Verse 22, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubts is condemned if he eats, because it is not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. So faith is that assurance, the confidence. And in this case, he was saying, if you're not confident, then don't do it. Don't eat it. And we can bring it down to some specific incidences, couldn't we? As we've learned and grown with this, I bring up the beans. And sometimes we'll go out and get the Mexican food, we'll get beans. I remember long ago, well, I wouldn't say that long ago, but at least when I worked for Taco Bell, we made the beans in a big pot, and we made them fresh. But we also threw two big things of lard in there, and that's what we cooked them with. And so I know now that most places use vegetable oil, and we ask. And sometimes if we don't know, I've come to say, who knows? Or use the reasoning, well, it's all in everything anyway. No, if it's in there, I don't want to eat it. And if I don't know, I'm not going to eat it. But everybody comes to that decision based on their faith alone as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So we take account of this in the different examples that you and I personally go through life. And see, even as I said that, based on what I would do, I'm not condemning you if you've done that before. I'm not going to do that. Well, I just don't know. I'll give you a testimony on what I do. Some people might be embarrassed that they ask. I'll say it's up to us to ask. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're not putting down a place. You're just finding out what you're taking in to this temple. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Again, that goes back to the teaching component. If Paul and the others would find out that these people were growing, that was a testimony to them and to their teaching. And it was the same for so many people that are out there today that sometimes have a condemnation on the one that taught us originally. And this man had to grow too. But it's a testimony again to us that we're still continuing on. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. They had a job to do. You know something? So are we. We all have jobs to do as well. By encouraging and helping and teaching others as God gives us the ability. But notice they said night and day praying exceedingly. They love these people. They couldn't always be with them. They had to travel many miles sometimes. But that was their directive, that they might perfect which is lacking in your faith. 2 Thessalonians, let's go over here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because that your faith grows exceedingly. Now, you just saw from the first letter to Thessalonians that they might perfect which is lacking in your faith. Then they write, Paul writes another letter saying, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you toward each other abounds. What a testimony that was. I mean, would that make a teacher and an apostle or a pastor so grateful? And not one of these either. The balance was there. Now, thank you, God, for so much for all the wisdom that you've given to me that I can teach all these people that are so lacking in faith. And as soon as someone says that, God goes, I got a couple lessons to teach him as well. And don't forget, the apostles all went through it. They went through some tough teaching, didn't they? Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So he wanted to share that with other people. To say, your brethren over here, sometimes you think you're suffering, consider what they're going through over there. I bring that up sometimes, don't we? Because of the bounty that we have in this nation that they don't have in those other nations. I just have not really experienced that. I've traveled overseas, but never to the point where there was never running water, except when we went through the desert in Israel, when you had to go through and get a cup of water out of the well that was there. But other places that our brethren go through, it's just incredible, and yet you always see them happy. You always see them happy. The one they had to travel so many miles, I never want to forget her, because they built her a bike that she could ride with her hands, and I think it was about 3 miles to come to services. And yet I'm hoping that we don't have people that are going, you know, I kind of like to come and go, but I'm just run down this week. I'm too tired this week. And you see this gal that's riding her bike, or the guy that was, I think, in the Latin America country, and he rides a bus over here 6 hours, I believe it was, to come to church. What is our attitude? Something for us to think about. The patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. And we're saying this now because this is where we're headed for. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer. Going all the way back to Romans. This is the purpose. We cannot lose that vision. Verse 11, wherewith we always pray for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So we could really come to the concept of understanding, I really know what he means right now when he says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Because if we could pray to our Father, God, I'm willing to be used by you. Give me the strength and power. And you could have that confidence and assurance and just go, let me at it. Let me at it. You know, have that confidence, not cockiness, but to come before God's throne boldly. Wow. This is what we're headed toward. And it's going to take some work, though. The work of faith with power. Luke 17, verse 3. Here's something that's sometimes hard for us to comprehend. And this is where I say, if you make the mistake, get back up. If you make it again, get back up. Getting back up doesn't always mean just getting back up, though. It means on looking to God and growing in our strength so that we don't fall back again. Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turns again to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, how many out here have had somebody do that seven times? And it might be the case. Maybe you've gone through that before. But I think he wanted to highlight something, showing his mercy, showing that's incredible. Seven times? I mean, he's going to stick it to me once, and then I'm going to forgive him, and he's going to do it again? And now I'm supposed to actually forgive him, and he does it again? That almost seems impossible. But God is the God of the impossible, isn't he? And notice what they said. It was so hard for them to understand this. They said, Lord, increase our faith. It's hard for us to grasp on that. And he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. As hard as it might be for any of us to understand this, the disciples came to understand this. And so it's possible to understand this. Oh, I get that. That's easy. Why is it so hard sometimes we ask our Father for forgiveness and he's so merciful to us? This is the mercy that we're to extend as well. Romans 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And this will be our last scripture today, and we'll do a quick review. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when you go back to your beginning, you had to hear a message. You had to hear a message. Then the second thing is you had to believe that message. You had to believe the impossible. You had to believe some things that you had been taught before. You had to unlearn things in order to learn other things. Then you had to believe God that you actually received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is there any question about that? You had to believe in the laying on of hands. People have to believe that God heals today. And sometimes when you start to doubt or you start to cringe is where that shield comes down, and we start to doubt more. We start to question more. We start to murmur a bit more, start to complain a bit more. And that's not the people of God. We're to grow, to be strong, to uplift somebody, to say, hey, let's pray for this person. Let's not condemn him. Let's not question him. Let's pray for this person. Would any of us in our decisions like to be questioned? Would anybody really understand and know the facts of any situation if they did question you? Face to face. As we go on through this year, let's ask God to increase our faith. So all of these other concepts, remember the prayer today. Help us to take this information and to live it, to live by it. To ask God, increase our faith. Strengthen us. Have mercy upon me. I've made tons of mistakes. I don't want to make those anymore. Take some more time to fast, especially as we see the days coming before us. Don't worry about it. Concern? I'm very concerned about where this nation is going, but I'm not worried about it. because it's all under God's control. That's faith, isn't it? Is it? The way God is taking this nation, nothing slips by him. He's got the course mapped out. And we simply have to believe that. But some of the stuff, the bad stuff, may come in our time. Nobody likes that. But guess what? If it doesn't come in our time, whose time does it come in? My children's? And if it doesn't come in their time, whose time does it come in? Our grandchildren's? Somebody's going to have to go through some real bad stuff. It may be in our time, but are we going to be ready for it? If we're not ready for it, how can our children be ready for it? Then we're not teaching as a testimony and giving them strength as well. The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just will live by faith. So we've seen so far that faith, according to Hebrews, is the confidence or reality of things that we hope for. This is going to happen. I just can't wait to see how it's going to unfold. And I think about different things, how we're going to return with Christ. Love savoring that, because anything I can think, I know it's going to be so much better than that. It's the proof of or evidence of things not seen. See, you've got to believe the Word of God and what He says. This is the plan. This is what I created from the very beginning. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing for the plan of all mankind, as we've seen from this last feast. So nobody is, you know, a lot of you might have relatives that didn't die in the faith, as I do. And I look forward to the day of seeing them. And that's after the millennium. I think we'll be busy enough during the millennium, but I wonder if we're going to talk about it. You know, wow, 800 years have gone by, 200 more years. And I get to see this person, maybe be there for them, or maybe children that have died. So much to savor and look forward to. That's the faith or the evidence. Now, 200 years goes by pretty quick, doesn't it? Well, a week goes by pretty quick. Last week at this time was the last great day. It's gone by quick. It always does. I like to bring that up just from the point of a 1,000 years is like a day to God. We see that in Scripture. But we're going to have all eternity, and it's so hard to grasp the concept of eternity. The evidence of things not seen. The second point is faith is a gift of God through His Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift of God through His Holy Spirit. Point three, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, meaning God's going to trim the branches. Why? So we produce more. He gives it to us through the Holy Spirit, and it's to grow. It's a fruit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith. Point four, faith is given in measures. How does God know how to do that? He disperses faith as He sees fit in measures. But we're still going to grow. Maybe some people won't grow as fast. Maybe the ones that are given a little bit will actually grow more. So interesting to see how God works in that way. Some people take their gifts for granted, and they don't work on those. But it's given in measures, and we must grow in faith by stirring up the gift of God's Spirit. And point five, faith and doubt are antonyms. Equal and opposite of each other. If you're doubting, there's an absence of faith, knowing that God will provide, God will take care of it, and He's given us. You know, it's very profound and exciting to work with people that have been around for a long time, because we're not on the first principles. You know, as it says in Hebrews, therefore leaving behind these first principles, the laying on of hands, baptism, we all know pretty much, even though we'll get reviews on that, our teachings of the church on that. But God says, leaving those foundational things behind, let's grow. Let's take this year now. This is exciting. I'm excited about this. I love and can't wait to talk to people. Hey, what was your experience like? And to get some more savoring out of that. And then to know we got a whole nother year. What's this going to be like? How is it going to be? And no matter what we have to confront or face, that we're going to be strong. We're going to lift each other up. We're going to worship God, and we look forward to the day when he returns. So let me ask, because it's a great question that's posed. When he returns, will he find that faith, right? When he returns, will he find that faith? It's going to be tested. We've got to become stronger. So when he returns, let him find us as a faithful congregation and faithful individuals and faithful first fruits.